This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, end zone. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again, back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots kick off the second half of the NFL season at home against the Buffalo Bills.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside, you just heard him, Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Patriots coming off the bye week. They host the Buffalo Bills today at Gillette Stadium. 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff on Patriots.com. And guys, this is a team the Patriots have already handled back in week 4, 52-28. They came back from way down in that one. To run away from the Bills. They did not have Aaron Hernandez in that one. They won't have him in this one either. Vasante Shenko's in. What's the impact there at the tight end position?
I think it's minimal. You know, this is a team that has more than enough weapons, certainly against a Buffalo Bills team, to put up a lot of points, run the football, do whatever they want to do offensively. I do think it'll be interesting to see how Shenko gets used, how he fits in. If, you know, we've had some debate here, I think, and on PFW in progress, you know, what type of tight end is he? In my mind, he is close to an Aaron Hernandez type tight end, you know, the move tight end, as Burt Breer likes to call it in his tweets.
I like to refer to it as the move tight end.
But I mean,
well, yeah.
He's a guy that, you know,
I got a movement for you.
Easy. Kind of rolls out of bed in his NFL career and is
a 50 catch guy.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay, so he can do that. Can he block? You know, it'll be interesting just to see him. I'll tell you one thing. The guy's yoked, as Charlie Weiss used to say. He's got big arms. He looks the part of a big, impressive athlete, but you know, don't give me that look.
I'm just thinking he's been on Deadspin before. I don't know where you're going with this, but yeah.
No, yes. I was talking about his arms and his physique, not below his belt.
Mm-hmm.
You can think below his belt. I'm talking about the parts of him that could be used on a football field as a benefit to your football team.
You never know where you're going, Andy.
Not his Patriot missile.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to agree with Andy because he'll take that as a, you know, a condescending shot from me. But I
like getting the nod of approval when I say things.
I don't know if you heard it on 98.5, but even Bill Belichick agrees with Andy.
Well, he did what Andy's been saying all along.
Sort of the second or third time this year. You know, I told him to move around Chandler Jones. He moved Chandler Jones around.
It was Andy's idea to do a football life, Bill Belichick, and he finally
Well, it's also Andy's idea to start Tom Brady at quarterback.
That was a good idea.
We all know how that worked out. The rest is history.
It's true.
But I do agree with...
Never listen to me on Taylor Price.
Having Shenko, I think it's almost like, you know, in the situation with Brandon Bolden being suspended, it allowed you to make this roster move without having to make a roster move.
Right, till next week when you bring Talib in.
And
when your other guy who's suspended for
using... So it's almost like a little bit of a, you know, a tryout. You know, for Shenko, you see exactly where he is, how far away, what kind of contributions can you get? Because I agree with Andy. I think his skill set is similar to Hernandez. And I don't want to just dismiss the fact that Aaron's out, but he's been out. And he's been a shell of himself really all year. He's had one game where he played as himself, and that was the opener. And we haven't really gotten to see him play anywhere near 100% since. So I think it's an opportunity for Belichick to take a look at somebody else. They have 5 tight ends now on the roster. And the versatility of some of those guys. I mean, Oman has been basically used as a fullback,
right?
More or less. And we all know that Hernandez sort of operates more as a receiver. So it's a good situation, I think. With
Shenko, can he be the fullback?
Absolutely.
And if he can be
the
fullback,
can he do some of those other things?
Because, you know, with 5 guys, I think Fells is here to stay. I think he was a long-term commitment when they signed him. I'm not sure that Shenko or are long-term commitments. So they're fighting maybe for kind of one spot. And if Shenko can do more than just catch, well, then
But interesting in the Hernandez situation, John Clayton did specifically say that he had a setback and not just, just not responding.
He got up from his bed to shoot that little thing.
Yeah, he got, let his ponytail down.
Stop yelling at his mom for a few moments while that was going on. By the way, I misspoke earlier. Hernandez has not officially been ruled out. Reportedly and expectedly will be out for this game against Buffalo.
Maybe in an hour we'll find out that we wasted the whole opening segment.
But Schefter's really wrong.
I usually err on the side of Adam Schefter, and I know a lot of other people have jumped on board that bandwagon as well, but Adam's usually pretty tapped in on these things.
Was Andy's advice to hold out Aaron Hernandez?
Andy told Adam Schefter.
No. They didn't listen to me on this one. My advice was to not play him in Seattle. He wasn't ready, and they rushed him back in Seattle.
You got to recall that is the consensus here.
The time he didn't listen
on the pregame show.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall, we didn't want him playing.
Mm-hmm. We're going to need a longer show if we're going to talk about when we were right.
three guys have officially been ruled out.
2 hours just ain't going to cut it.
Three guys have officially been ruled out, by the way. Brandon Bolden, who we'll get to momentarily. Yeah. Also,
Goodell
Trevor Scott out. And Tracy White. And the inactive should be on the way here in a little over a half an hour. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey cheddar bacon.
I'd like to.
And ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. And Dunkin', if you're listening, we will let you make us sandwiches.
And if Dunkin', if you're listening, you tried to replace the world-class Oreo donut with this red velvet one. As good as you did on the Oreo donut, the red velvet just doesn't sell. I'm sorry. Hopefully this is a limited-time engagement.
Now, let's see if they listen to Andy Hart.
Just for our listeners' sake, how many of those did you have today?
Just one. When I
look at the look you just got.
No, I had two donuts. Just
two
one
donuts.
Was
you had two
velvet.
Donuts before the show?
One was the red velvet.
I take the kids to Dunkin' Donuts pretty much every Sunday morning, and they know I like red velvet cupcakes, so when they saw the red velvet donut, they're like, Daddy, try the red velvet, and it doesn't taste like red velvet.
I thought you meant like right here.
Yeah. Can we go over to the poll center? Because I think someone else would like to weigh in on the red velvet donut.
Is that a fat joke?
No.
You can take it as one if you'd like.
It was subpar.
Subpar. And I'm honest. I'm objective. The Oreo donut they had was the best donut ever. This one doesn't really taste like red velvet. It's not really that good.
Did you ever see anybody get so passionate about more useless stuff?
Don't send this tape to Dunkin' Donuts. They might not re-up their Dunkin' Donuts pregame social sponsorship.
While we're in the poll center with Matt LePan, what do you
put
got
down
over
the
there?
Donut, Chubbs. That's a fat joke.
I have a bagel. Thank you very much.
Oh, he's going to need a half hour to chew that then. Mm-hmm. So get this in quick.
Get the poll done.
Drunk and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Yes, it is.
It's worked for Paul.
What is the biggest factor the Patriots need to control today to win? Limiting pass rush, limiting turnovers, eliminating big plays, stopping the run, or other?
Turnovers.
Big plays.
Turnovers.
Big plays.
That's one and two. They're actually just that's updating instantly. It's tied at 38% right now.
Those two? Big
Those
plays
two.
And turnovers?
Turnovers.
Well, really, in my mind, big plays includes turnovers, so I win.
Didn't you say eliminating big
eliminate big plays like on defense?
Oh, turnovers, I thought.
Limiting turnovers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, turnovers.
Yeah, I don't care about the turnovers.
I'm going to play the role of Andy High. Yeah, turnovers is the answer.
We've seen turnovers bite the Bills before, and specifically Ryan Fitzpatrick. It happened
Did you know
week
more
four.
Than a quarter of his career interceptions are against the Patriots?
I did not know that. It's pretty good.
Well, for the Patriots.
Right, exactly.
Not for him.
He's
never had more touchdowns than interceptions against the Patriots.
In a game?
In like seven games, I believe.
And he had a four-touchdown game against
pretty
the Patriots.
Good.
Yeah. And he's also thrown four interceptions each of the last two games against the Patriots.
52-28 was the score.
Correct.
In week four.
That's
and
a misleading score.
We will get to how the Bills have changed since that point. We're going to talk to Chris Brown of Bills.com coming up here in a little over 5 minutes. Get the perspective from Buffalo.
So in six?
Yeah, a little over five. Ballpark it. We'll ballpark when we talk to him. We'll get to your phone calls as well.
508-298-0398
and your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Yeah, he's got a lot of pregame obligations, apparently. We got to bump him up. So
kind
we'll,
of a big deal.
We'll talk to him a little earlier
or
in the program.
Or he's the only guy who covers the Bills.
Something that would tie into the Patriots limiting big plays, maybe not today or specifically not today, with the addition of Aqib Talib, but down the road, trying to limit some of those big plays. Your thoughts on that trade and the impact going forward?
I think it's a great trade in terms of you addressed your biggest need, pass defense, big plays, coverage, and you tried to address it with the best available option that you had at the trading deadline. I think if you're a Patriots fan, you know, kind of along the lines of they traded up for Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower. I don't even care who they got. Bill Belichick traded up. He went and got somebody. Bill Belichick went and got somebody for their biggest need. I like the move.
Yeah, I feel pretty much the same way as Andy on the whole thing. Understanding that any guy that you get at the trading deadline is going to have some sort of cloud hanging over him, whether he's looking for a contract or was bitching in his old place about playing time, or in this case with Talib, it's a situation where obviously
worse,
he's had
worse has certainly been said
by Andy on this show already.
Whoa! I haven't said anything today. I said nut cutting. That's my new one for the week. Are you allowed to say that? Because I said it on CBS and Comcast in the last 3 days.
Excellent.
With the situation with Talib, obviously off field, there's a lot of stuff hanging over him. But I think that they needed to make the best of the situation, and that's you take a chance on a guy. I'm not really worried about him getting arrested or doing something silly off the field, because if that happens, you just cut him and he's gone, and no big deal. The risk to me would be how it affects the rest of the secondary, how it affects the guys. There are going to be guys that have a role right now that won't once he starts playing.
Kyle Arrington.
Kyle Arrington, I think, would come to mind.
Don't you think he's the most likely? Because,
yes,
Dennard,
I do.
You're just
I
a rookie.
Do.
If you don't, we think we like him. We want to see more of him. But even if he's the odd man out, he goes, well, I'm kind of a seventh-round rookie, so I'll get my chance next year. But Arrington's a guy where I've been a starter. I led the frickin' NFL in interceptions. I've done everything you've ever asked me, and you're replacing me with that DB?
Well, that's the part. That last part
or
of
AT.
It is to me, relevant. Not only, okay, all right, so I'm not playing as great as I was, but then you went out and just got any old a-hole to replace me. Well, I've tried to do everything, and I'm not saying this is how he's going to react. I'm saying that's the one and only risk to
that's
me.
How Paul would react.
That's the risk to me. That
I'm kind of being serious.
and if Arrington, let's just say the total hypothetical nonsense, fantasy land.
Mm-hmm.
If Arrington acts the way Andy just said, what if like Devin McCourty and Steve Gregory are like best friends with Kyle Arrington, and they don't like the way Kyle Arrington was treated? Now all of a sudden you got a couple of defensive backs that's saying, well, yeah, this guy's all right, but look, that's not right what they did to Kyle. That's how locker room problems start, cracks in the foundation start. And you don't really know that those exist until after the fact.
And Brady
and that's
even
why
said
late
that
in the season, there's a little bit of a risk.
Brady even said that in his sit down with Shalice Manza-Young that was in the Globe today. One of his interesting comments was, you can't win, or it's hard to win when, basically, I'm paraphrasing, not everybody's all in, when other people have to kind of pull another player along. We've tried that around here and it didn't work. Well, maybe this is another one of those. He's comfortable where he is now. He thinks the team he has now doesn't have that, but you've now added a guy. Well, you've added two. I'll throw Shanko in there. He doesn't have the same reputation as Talib, but as you're adding veterans who impact your team midway through the year, you don't know how they're going to fit in. Speaking of fitting in, I know you haven't done your spiel about how to get in touch with the show yet, but we are very Twitter interactive, and I want to go right to the Twitter feed right now. This is from Brett the _ Hitman. And he sent it to me and Paul. I'm tuned into the PPGS, best Pats pregame show in the business, .. Please lose Adam Jones and play the A-team.
Wait.
That's not nice.
The fans are speaking.
Who is the A-team again? That's you guys?
That's Andy and I.
What's the name for Scalavino and Kersh?
DB team.
I don't think they have a team.
Who I heard was afraid he almost died on one of these return plane rides. I heard about this during the week. I do want to get to the phone calls momentarily here. On the Ace Ticket Hotline. But quickly, you mentioned the trickle-down effect with Kyle Arrington. What's the trickle-down effect with the addition of Talib at safety for Devin McCourty or cornerback for Devin McCourty?
Well, we'll find out. And Paul mocked me for saying this earlier on the CBS pregame show. But, I thought the interesting comment last week was Belichick talking about trying to find lineup consistency, some continuity in the back end. That's a separate factor from simply, where does Devin McCourty play? I hope Devin McCourty stays at corner. I still think there's an investment there. I think he's played better this year. Not great, but better than he was last year. And you haven't seen the veteran safeties on the field with McCourty all that much. I'd like to see a veteran secondary of Talib and McCourty at corner, and then Gregory and Chung at safety with the youngsters, Dennard, Wilson, other guys, Arrington, mixed in.
That would be my secondary choice. I think those are your four best to start with. And just for clarification, I didn't mock you for saying that. I mocked you for saying, after all of it you just said, you said, as I've been saying all along.
Is that
that's the part that I mocked you
is
about.
That not true? I've been asking him to shorten the bench in the secondary. I don't want
to
see
I just wanted to state
Mark
clearly
Lee's Cole one week and then
I didn't
he's not
disagree
good
with
to play
you
the next.
I didn't disagree with you about anything you said, only the fact that you had to pat yourself in the back while saying it.
I learned it from Leaping Lenny Poffo.
When you say you've been asking for him and asking him, you haven't been asking him directly. This is just in here in the studio.
Oh,
you're not passing that through back channel.
Occasionally,
I give him
some ideas to pull from, but this is not one of them.
We will get to the phone calls, 508-298-0398. But we do want to focus in on this matchup today against the Buffalo Bills. We mentioned the Patriots were in a tight one at halftime, even down early on in the second half up in Buffalo, before running away from the Bills, 52-28, week four. Ryan Fitzpatrick, a lot of touchdown passes, number of picks in that one as the Patriots secondary, and specifically their safety play, which we were just touching on, exposed in that matchup. Another divisional game for the Patriots today as they come off the bye week at 5-3. They take on the 3-5 Buffalo Bills. And to break it all down, we welcome in Chris Brown from Bills.com and Bills Digest. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time here
on the
pregame program.
Yeah. You're overdressed.
Got to do a little TV work on the side. Sorry.
With this Bills team, since we've seen them last, where have the biggest changes come from with this team?
They've struggled. I mean, I think that Bills game against the Patriots back in week four was kind of the first exposure to some of the major problems that existed on defense. Quite frankly, their defensive line has underachieved. Dave Wannstedt built his defensive scheme around what he thought was going to be an overpowering and difficult to match up with defensive line. And to this point, they have grossly underachieved. I would say only Kyle Williams has played up to his potential. Marcell Dareus has been a disappointment. Mario Williams, everybody's probably read about the disappointment that he's been to this point in the season for them. And Mark Anderson, you know, a guy that you guys know very well, has missed the last four games with a knee injury. So it's been a colossal disappointment. And Dave Wannstedt said throughout the offseason, it starts with our front four. Well, when they're not playing well, it's a domino effect, and the rest of the group struggles as a result. But stopping the run has been a major problem since that Patriots game. You know, when they rolled up 248, it really hasn't been dramatically better. It's been better in spots here and there. I thought they did pretty well against Arian Foster last week. They only gave up 77 yards on the ground up until the fourth quarter there, and then he got some garbage yardage at the end when they were trying to kill the clock, and finishes with 111.
Beyond the physical, and obviously they've had physical issues both sides of the ball, where are the Bills right now mentally? Because it seemed like there was some people kind of feeling like they had to answer for themselves on defense. Mario Williams, obviously one of them. Kyle Williams had some stuff to say. And then offensively, your GM Buddy Nix has kind of said, you know, the quarterback right now isn't really our quarterback moving forward. Where is the mental state of this team right now?
Well, I think one of the big problems that this team has had, and one of the main reasons why it hasn't been to the playoffs in 12 seasons, going on 13 here, if this thing keeps going the way it's going, is because there isn't a defined mental toughness that runs through this team. There isn't there's leadership on this team, but I think there's it's hard for that leadership to get traction because this team has not had success. It's like, all right, come follow me. Well, why am I following you? What have you won? Nobody's won anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have Nick Barnett that came in last year. Yeah, he won a Super Bowl with the Packers, but, I mean, the guy was on injured reserve in week four. He didn't go on that run. And so I think while there are guys that are willing to lead, capable of leading, I think it's hard for the rest of that group to get behind them, follow, and then perform at an acceptable level. They talked about creating more accountability in the bye week. It was a little better against Houston, but is it enough to win consistently? I don't know that it is.
Is the talent level, I mean, they've been, you know, hurt by injuries a lot in the past, and I think that a lot of people have talked about how, well, they don't have the depth of maybe a playoff team, and that's really hurt them. But is the talent level, to start with, enough, do you feel? Or is it the mental stuff that you've sort of talked about?
Well, I think there's talent on the roster, and there's no question about it. I think it's lacking at one of the most important positions, which is the quarterback position. I think Fitz is a nice quarterback that can win you some games, but I think he could just as easily lose some. And I think if you look in his last three games against the Patriots alone, I think it's a pretty good snapshot. The guy's thrown for over 300 yards in each of the last three games. Mm-hmm. He's thrown 8 touchdowns. He's like, this is great. He's also thrown 10 interceptions. And that's the maddening thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick, because there are times when you see him do it, and you guys saw it last year in that week three game. I mean, he was magnificent. I mean, but even in that game, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. Mm-hmm. It's just the decision-making boggles the mind with him, because he will make great decisions. Anticipation throws. The guy's not even out of his break yet, and he's throwing it to a spot where he thinks he's going to be, and then he is there, and the play looks great. And then there's other times where you're like, what was he thinking on that play? There's nobody in that vicinity, and he's rifling it to a cornerback. What is he doing? And so it's the inconsistency that's so maddening with him, and I don't know that he can win enough to be the long-term solution there. And I think people are getting wise to that. I think what's so annoying for Bills fans is the coaching staff hitched their wagon to this guy, gave him the big contract last year, which they can get out of pretty easily. They can get out of $40 million of that if they part ways after this season. Right. Buddy Nix indicates they're not going to do that, even though he said they are going to probably draft a quarterback this year. But I think Bills fans are off that train. They don't want him as their quarterback long term.
The one thing that has been elite so far is obviously C.J. Spiller. I think in the last 50 years, only one person has a higher yards per carry, but he doesn't have
a ton
of carries.
That would be Jim Brown, by
right.
the way.
He doesn't have a ton
one
of carries.
Person. Andy's
right.
a young guy.
I know what it is. Is there do you believe he could carry the ball more often than he does and stay productive?
I believe he should.
Okay.
I've been banging this drum since week four.
Other writers pat themselves on the back, too, when they're calling and they have ideas.
Some have credibility.
You don't.
He has been the most dynamic player on the offense from the start of the season. And Fred Jackson, you know, he was doing amazing things last year in similar fashion. But I think on this roster, there is no other player that strikes fear in the opponent more than C.J. Spiller. And then you look and you say, he's got 78 carries through eight games. What the heck is going on here? And I don't know if it's because there's too much respect for Fred Jackson as a leader on this team and a veteran and a guy that's always done right. And I love Fred Jackson. I mean, he's great. He's healthy now. You guys saw him at probably 50%. He probably shouldn't even suit it up for that game in week four, but he wanted to play. So I think Chan Gailey's fighting the balance there in terms of what am I doing here. But the bottom line is you got to win football games. And this guy can go the distance on any play. I don't care if he's hemmed in the backfield. If he gets away from one guy, and the biggest difference in his game this year that I see is his ability to break tackles. His yards after contact is amazing. 4.75 yards on average after initial contact. I mean, for a guy that goes only 205, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. One of the big things the first time, Chris, with that 250 yards rushing the Patriots got was they kept running the ball when Buffalo was in some sub-packages, and Chan, obviously, and Dave Wannstedt felt comfortable with some extra defensive backs. Do they adjust this time around? Do they have to just play better with those smaller packages on the field because you can't really make yourself susceptible to Brady slinging it around?
That's the giant question that's been asked in Buffalo all week. What is going to be Buffalo's answer when New England spreads them out, forces them to put nickel personnel on the field, and then runs the football? And, you know, Dave Wannstedt did not change his personnel throughout that entire game. Brady's just like, okay, we're going to keep running it. And, you know, 248 yards later and four touchdowns, it's a rout. And so you look at that and you say, all right, well, what are they going to do different? I think they will have some different things, but they were also talking all week about how that was their poorest tackling game of the season. They had themselves cited for 15 missed tackles or whatever in that game. But to me, I think they have to mix it up. You can't just keep giving Brady the same looks because he'll eat you for lunch. So I think that you'll see some different packages in terms of on occasion they will go three linebackers and just say, screw it, let's just take our chances and put the linebacker up on the line against Gronkowski if he split out and just crack him coming off the line, try to reroute him that way and hope for the best. And if it's a run play, you got a bigger guy on the field to play defense.
Sure.
Other than that, I don't know what else you can do. I mean, this is not an easy answer for any team that goes against the passing weapons that the Patriots can put out there, and then, oh, by the way, let's run Ridley at you. So is there an easy – I'm not trying to make it out like there's an easy solution. There isn't. But they've got to do something. They've got to mix it up and tackle better, basically.
You talk about Spiller being one guy who could change the fate on any play. In your opinion, he may never live up to the $100 million contract, but is Mario Williams good enough where he could get hot and carry this defense for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, just be one of those guys that changes a game by himself?
I think that's what Bills fans were expecting to see. And because they haven't seen it, they've gone sour on him. And as soon as I saw that it was a $100 million contract, the first person I thought of was A-Rod. This guy's got an A-Rod contract. There's no way he's going to be able to live up to that. He could have 15 sacks this season, and that might call the dogs off.
but it's not going to satisfy anybody. I don't know how you live up to a $100 million contract, and I'm not a Mario Williams apologist by any means, but can he take over a game? Sure he can. Has it happened? No, and he hasn't come really close to making that happen, and I think that's the most confounding thing for Bills fans. I think they saw him as an answer to get this defense to the next level, and you look at the defense at the midway point of the season, they're worse in almost every category than what they were last year when they were pretty bad.
That's a bad investment. If you're Ralph Wilson, hard to really say that was good money spent.
Yeah,
with those guys, you know, you said that they've underachieved. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. Are they the right players? I mean, for what Wonstadt wants to do?
Well, I think they are. I think it's just a matter of, you know, getting them all together playing their best football. And to this point, that just hasn't happened. And Marcell Dareus, I don't know where his head is at. You know, he lost his younger brother in an act of violence earlier this season. This guy's gone through a tremendous amount of loss in his 22 years on this earth. He lost his dad when he was 6, his grandmother when he was 13, his mom when he was going to college. He lost his high school coach, who was his mentor, the day he signed with Alabama. He died in a car wreck 2 hours after the announcement. He lost his best friend in high school to cancer, who played at a neighboring SEC school, and then he loses his youngest brother. I mean, he's 22.
Man,
I mean, that's
Tyus
an enormous amount of loss.
Yeah.
So I just think, I really feel this is a lost season for him, and his head is just somewhere else this year. And you can understand that to a certain extent, but it's really costing this football team.
Just circling back to the leadership on this Bills team, you mentioned, you know, the lack of guys in the locker room, or at least the lack of leadership that's coming out of that locker room. What type of reflection is that on the coach?
That's not a good reflection. but the interesting thing is, time and again, you will hear the coach say there is tremendous character in this locker room. And I think there are guys in there that do right every step of the way. They work hard in practice. They stay late. You know, George Wilson, one of the co-captains on the defensive side of the ball, he brings the entire defensive backs in on Tuesdays, and they watch extra film every week on their off day. I mean, that's the kind of character that I think he's referring to. The biggest problem is all of these things that they do right during the week never seem to translate to Sunday. And then when the going gets tough, this team puts their head down more often than not and rarely overcome a deficit on the scoreboard if it's more than a touchdown.
All right. So is this a Bills team, in your opinion, that's going down the road of it's going to get blown up this year? I mean, is Buddy Nix possibly out? Is Fitzpatrick possibly out? What are the ramifications of this season?
When the stuff kind of hit the fan after the last-second loss to Tennessee, which is the only team that gives up more points per game than the Bills, and they ironically lost by 1 point on a fourth-down play, that's when fans were in an uproar and people were asking him questions. Buddy Nix, this is, asking him questions about changing coaches and starting over, and he says, we're not starting over. Because that's what the Bills do. Every 3 years, they turn over the coaching staff, and then it's start all over again. And they feel starting over will take a further step back than the things they have to fix this offseason moving forward. And obviously, if you can get a franchise quarterback in the draft, last year would have been the year to do that. they would have been in much better shape. You know, I don't know what they're picking and choosing from this year, but it's certainly not as good as last year.
All right. He is Chris Brown of Bills.com and Bills Digest. We appreciate you taking some time out of your busy pregame schedule.
You guys got some nice digs here.
Thanks for swinging by.
Want some Dunkin' Donuts?
We got some plenty of stuff.
Well, you spent your budget on Mario Williams.
Yeah, that's right. Indeed.
Leading up to Patriots and Bills here, 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff time from Foxborough. We mentioned the Patriots. Took care of the Bills week 4, 52-28. I see you guys hanging out on the phones, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll get there and your emails as well. Patriots have run the table in the second half in 2 straight years. What are the chances they can do it again? We'll ask the guys next here on Patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy, broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Tossed out the question a few moments ago. Patriots went 8-0 in the second half in two straight years. What are the chances they can do it again? We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo live here on Patriots.com. I promised we'd get to the phone calls. Let's do that. 508-298-0398. And we'll kick things off with our buddy Jeff in Vegas. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Cold?
Yeah, things couldn't be better here. In fact, I don't know if you know this, right now it's 20 degrees colder in Vegas than it is in Foxborough.
Mm. It is a beautiful day here for football. Sunny, little bit of a breeze, but other than that, beautiful.
Yeah, it's 37 degrees right now here, which is very cold for November.
Those eye candy dancers must be a bit nipply today.
Very much so. In fact, many of them were out very late last night. There's a new thing called the Act at the Venetian, but we won't get too much into that.
Okay.
Let's get to today's numbers, which is kind of interesting. The New England started minus 11, now up to minus 13 in many spaces, and the total is all the way up to 53.
Nobody's buying Buddy Nix's Bills.
Patriots in the over. Back.
I'm sorry, Paul?
Patriots in the over.
He just stepped on your prediction.
that's a tremendous, as Andy would say, segue to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Yeah. Heavens to Betsy!
I find my place, myself at a place I don't normally like to be. Complete agreement with Paul Perillo. New England will blow Buffalo off the field. They're sick of these competitive games. A couple years ago, Buffalo actually won the game. Not even close at all from the start. Go New England all the way big. But just to go contrary, I'm going to go under the 53. I just won't learn my lesson. I don't see a huge amount. That's a lot of points. Andy, what do you think?
I actually agree with you. I think you may be in a nail biter, but since I've been predicting 35 to 13, that's 48. I think that is a controlled victory, but doesn't get you to the over. So I'm okay with it. Patriots in the under. Good call.
I love it. Lock it in, and if we hit both, I will do lunch. Been very busy, unfortunately. I apologize. I had to work a little bit past few weeks. Lunch on Jeff in Vegas if we hit both sides. Talk to you later.
I'll look forward to it, Jeff. Don't get too chilly out there, Nips.
The Patriots scored 52 on their own week four. So I don't.
It's a different game in a different week.
The Bills turned the ball over six times,
but didn't
recover an onside kick. That's like seven turnovers in one game.
You said over.
I said over 38-23 is my prediction.
I'm going over as well.
I don't.
And for the record, I predicted 35 to 13. Back when it was a 11 point game, just for the record.
Gotcha.
I'm just saying. Not that it changes anything.
Just for the sake of argument.
Just for the record, the facts out there.
That's correct. You like to protect the record, protect the integrity of your
prediction.
It's
getting close to really big numbers that I don't like.
So I agree. It's a big number. I still think the Patriots cover that number.
I do too.
Let's hit another one. 508-298-0398. Dean is in Waterville, Maine, and you're next up here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. What are your thoughts on the game today, Dean?
I think Pats will do well. I don't think Buffalo's that much of a challenge. They're defensive backs, so they're scary. I mean, they're not. I don't know. I think that's the weakness of the Patriots. I mean, I don't know, picking up to be, I think that's a big pickup. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think, but it's going to be awfully hard to go 8-0 the rest of the, you know, to finish off the year.
Well, I agree with that, but I'm with you on the first point. I just, for a team that was well on their way to dominating the Patriots the first game, I have no respect for the Buffalo Bills. I have no fear that they're going to come in here and have the upset. Zero. 0.0 fear that that's going to happen. And it's weird to say that when it was 21-7 and could have been uglier, and then the bottom fell out. And that may be why I don't respect them, because I think they flat out gave up in that game and didn't show up the week later against the Niners. That may be something to do with it, what Chris Brown was talking about earlier in terms of
mental.
Yeah, mental and heart. And Kyle Williams sort of questioned it.
Yeah, to me, the only fear
about Williams, in case anybody wanted to know.
God. The only fear of a problem in this game to me would be that it's one of those games where you decide to turn the ball over three or four times.
And no fear.
And I don't fear that. I agree with Andy.
As long as Brady is on 2 feet, you win.
Yeah, I'm close
easily
to the 0.0 thing, because I thought some of Chris Brown's comments were telling about the mental the lack of mental fortitude of this team.
Very sound mind for a man who beats her name? What's her name?
Rihanna.
Yeah, he had the neck tattoo covered up. I don't know if you caught that when he was in here.
Apparently it's Beerville in Maine, too. Sounded like he started a little early up there.
Well, you know, we're getting close to 90 minutes away from kickoff.
Beer o'clock.
Yeah. Also sounded like somebody that Tony Maserati would have had a fun time with.
I don't know what you guys think, but I got no problem.
But we should have the inactives here in about 5 minutes. Aaron Hernandez, again, expected to be out. Patriots have already ruled out three. Brandon Bolden, Trevor Scott, and Tracy White. We'll pass those along momentarily.
Yep. Bolden is not actually, won't be an inactive, because he's actually not on the roster.
Oh, so there are five more. Excuse me.
Yes. I think we were just on ESPN.
You were. I just saw both of you.
Nice. Yeah. I bet I was funnier than this whole production together. main event has been funny.
I have my back to it. So you guys were on there
in
the background.
Yeah, sure. Kenny Mayne was here last week, one of the days in the locker
picking
room,
noses
doing
and
one
stuff,
of his
yeah.
main events with Deion Branch and Zoltan Mesko. And, the media was just milling around the locker room. I think they caught us.
This is while they
background.
Were talking to astronauts in space. Was this the same day?
Not the same day.
Gotcha.
Not the same day.
Anyway, we
He's
will.
He's no Nadia Comaneci. He's a punter.
We will get back into your feedback. Your 508-298-0398. Emails to webradio, patriots.com. I want to toss this question out to you guys. And I want to toss it out to Andy and Paul as well. We said Patriots have gone 8-0 in the second half, ran the table each of the past two seasons. What's the likelihood they'll do it again?
66.9%, I'm going to say.
Slightly
I'm
over
actually, two-thirds. I'm actually gaining confidence in that area, and I'll admit, I think I may be swayed a little bit by the last time we saw the Patriots winning 45-7, maybe swayed a little bit by the trade, maybe swayed a little bit by the belief that they're getting healthier, Hernandez aside, because a couple weeks ago I would not have argued it at all, and I think there's a chance now, and I think that the ability to play the Texans and the Niners here against quarterbacks who I'm not sure are ready for that atmosphere at Gillette Stadium, who knows, windy, weather, whatever, has swayed me a little bit. So I think they have a chance.
Yeah, well, they absolutely.
Hey, there's Paul. Good Lord. How many cameras they got on you?
Oh, shut up. they absolutely have a chance. If you're asking me specifically, I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to lose one of the two tough games. That they have. I don't know which one, but I think that they will lose one of those games. But you can't possibly take away their chances of doing something they've done each of the last two seasons. This is a team that traditionally plays its best down the stretch. I think
that's when it's nut cutting time.
I think when Belichick has a chance to kind of observe the league and figure out exactly, some adjustments of what people are doing, some of the changes and whatnot, I think they get better in terms of their preparation. And I think this is a team that just they understand the ebbs and flows of the season and how to sort of steadily rise during the season. That's been a pretty consistent theme of all of these Patriots teams under Belichick, is they've continuously gotten better. So I think there's a very legitimate chance that you could see them go 8-0 again in the second half. But it's not like, 7-1 or 6-2 is a disaster.
No, that puts you at 11 or 12 wins.
Yeah,
I mean, and it puts you right there in the mix for a top two seed in the AFC.
Yeah, and if
especially if you knock off Houston,
if they lose two games, if they go 6-2 and go and finish 11-5, you're probably looking at not avoiding wild card weekend. You'll be the division champ, but you'll have to play on that first weekend. But I think that's less important than how they're actually playing. And I think as long as you continue to see the improvement, and it'd be interesting to see what Tlaib does with that as well.
Obviously, the two games everyone hones in on, December 10th, Monday nighter here against Houston, and then the Sunday night game the week after, December 16th, home against San Francisco. Is there anything else out of these eight games that pique your interest on the Patriots' schedule?
Well, I think you look at the young quarterbacks, Tannehill and Luck, and what they could do. Everybody likes to point to, Belichick against young quarterbacks. Yeah, young quarterbacks have a good time against him a lot because he doesn't have a lot to go on. A lot of times when he doesn't have a game plan or a game book on a guy, it's more difficult. And I think both those guys have some athleticism that could keep plays alive. And against a secondary that struggles to cover, for 3 seconds, if they have to cover for five, what are they going to do? And, we know Miami has given them problems at times over the years. The defense is playing tough. I think those three games, the one against the Colts and the two against Miami, if I had to rank, next losable games, I'd probably put one of the Miamis at top that list.
Yeah,
I think I said that, Andy.
Because I think Indy actually sucks.
Yeah,
but Luck thing, you never know.
I'm intrigued by Luck for the reasons Andy said, but in terms of for the Patriots and any of that stuff, to me, the game at Miami, which I think follows the Thanksgiving game, if I'm not sure. I'm not mistaken.
If I'm not sure, question mark.
It is. It's the game. It's the game
after,
right? It's the
yeah.
game after Thanksgiving. So
and I'm not saying
you have an extended.
What if you are sure? Does it still follow?
And I'm not. And I'm not saying necessarily in terms of a losable game. I mean in terms of I think that to see Tannehill for the first time and see what kind of yeah that's good. Yeah. Andy just backed into a camera right. and banged the back of his head.
That'd be karma knocking
audibly.
On your head.
Absolutely.
I heard it before I saw it. That was an audible head smack on the camera right behind him. And I think we're all in agreement.
That picked up on his mic.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was loud.
I think I'm concussed.
A little bit of karma there.
How could we tell?
Andy Hart, one of the seven inactives here today for the Patriots. You were talking about that extended look, though, at the Miami Dolphins. I think beyond Luck, beyond some of those other games, I don't know if anyone's taking the Dolphins seriously, but that will be interesting. And that would seem like the one, if the Dolphins were going to get them, barring the Patriots sitting every one week 17 in Miami, you know, right at the beginning of December, that seems like that would be the tougher of the two spots for the Patriots going in there. Checking through some of the emails here to webradio@patriots.com. Andy, your favorite.
Oh, wait. Inactives.
Oh, good.
Let me click on it. Hernandez is indeed. Ah, Christ, it's moved. Hernandez is indeed inactive. Aaron Hernandez, Pat Chung, Tracy White, Ron Brace, Trevor Scott, Malcolm Williams, Jake Beckett. So the interesting one beyond Hernandez, which we knew about, would be Patrick Chung again after missing, the two games before the bye and now the bye. Now he's out a month.
Steve Gregory finally back.
Yeah. So we got that going for us. So is it going to be a Gregory-McCourty pairing back there in the secondary today? Or is it going to be a Gregory-Wilson pairing?
Interesting. We also have Mankins back, if I'm not mistaken. That's another one?
Yep. Okay. Which is kind of what I expected, because you remember, he made the trip to London, whereas Hernandez didn't. So he was kind of a, if you're going to make that trip, you're close.
And he's had 2 weeks beyond that. Yep.
And, I mean, it looks like he's just going to be banged up all year. He's going to have something to deal with. Okay, he's an offensive lineman. Throw your knee braces on. Get out there. You're a tough guy. I love you, bruh.
All right, so Aaron Hernandez, Pat Chung, the two headliners for the Patriots in terms of inactive, Steve Gregory and Logan Mankins return. We'll take your thoughts on these inactives here. Specifically, how do you want to see the secondary shake out now that you have Steve Gregory back, rather? You know, where do you want to see Devin McCourty line up? We'll take your thoughts, 508-298-0398. Emails to webradio@patriots.com. Also take your thoughts on how you see the Patriots faring in the second half after running the table in each of the past 2 years. Let's get to the emails. Andy's buddy, Al, in Italy, writes in.
Fat Al!
Guys, I have two questions. One, what do you think about the relegation and promotion in the NFL? I mean, why are teams like the Browns and the Jaguars in the NFL? In other words, do like an English Premier League type thing where you have a second tier. Thoughts on that? We can bat that aside rather quickly with the way you're looking at it, Andy.
Well, I mean, it's just not what we do. And what league would they go to? The UFL?
Maybe you just do,
Who would go up?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, Alabama. Not after yesterday.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet it out right after that game. So now is it okay to ask if Texas A&M would beat the Jaguars?
Right, I saw that. So we can bet that one aside. It's just,
I mean, it's
right.
just not it's just, the way it is.
There's
just,
no there's
now if you wanted to divvy it up,
lingerie league teams or
no,
something like
but
that.
If you wanted to say, okay, you know, the top 16 are the NFL and mm-hmm. the bottom 16 are, you know, the feeder league, and you know, set up a system only those teams, you know, get rid of the Jags, get rid of all these teams, but it's just not what it is. And since they are the most popular league in America, making money hand over fist, unlike, by the way, some of the teams in the Premier League, which is now struggling financially in various ways with their system of no salary cap and just handing out $50 million left and right for some guy from another country, I don't think the NFL needs to be changing its kind of core.
Maybe you can just
approach.
Relegate that team to London every year. Maybe that's what you can do. That's what the NFL
that's
will do to
solve
it.
That's not a terrible idea.
All right.
If you don't shape up, I'm shipping you out to London.
you're going to have to go be the
London. And the Jags already kind of want
to
do
London
it, right?
The London Jaguars, the London Browns.
Like they had like that proposal where they wanted to play a few games there.
Yeah.
Good news, you're going to get eight games there.
Second question from Al. Why doesn't the NFL rather say which substances athletes are suspended for? And again, as always, less Andy, more Paul.
I don't think they can. I think that would be a confidentiality thing. And it would certainly have to be negotiated between the two in the CBA. But I don't think that. I mean, no one does that. Does anyone do that? Like baseball, you know, had to fight for anything.
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. But, I think that you'd have a hard time getting that passed. But, you know, agreed upon between the players and the league. And you know what? The league doesn't stand to gain any. Andy's still holding the back of his head. The league doesn't stand to gain anything by it. You know, because all you're doing is you're making it definite that, it was a steroid. in most cases, because I honestly feel that most of the suspensions are not for cold medicine, as you know the players
really?
Often say.
That's very cynical of
you, Paul. They're on the high octane stuff, as my buddy Felger likes to say.
No, but it actually benefits both sides, because the player can argue it and the league can also have that out
there.
I can't.
That's what I'm saying. It's not in the league's best interest to say, oh, no, well, he actually, was on.
It's Winstrel, just so you know, it's Winstrel.
Yeah, I knew. See, I don't know any of the names, but I knew Andy Woods. That's why
Winnie.
I kind of paused.
He tested positive for Winnie. What do you want me to tell you?
Little Winnie.
How'd you beat that test?
Quickly on Bolden.
With your mother.
Quickly on Bolden. What's the outlook there for him? Any jeopardy roster spot-wise or anything like that?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I think that would be a little disingenuous when you've had a number of guys and you're trading four guys that are on suspension. And, you know, Brandon Spikes, same situation, a young player. You know, he made a mistake that made them unhappy. You know, maybe it's even a similar type of mistake. I don't know, because we don't know what exactly happened. But, you know, you're not happy about it. And Belichick gets annoyed at these, you know, making decisions. And I said this to Paul. I think this year, for the first time, there's actually a new sign in the locker room, right going into the bathroom where they go to see the piss man and take these tests, that says basically don't take anything unless you want a potential 4-week vacation in the middle of the year without checking it. So whether they're on steroids or whether they're taking cold medicine or Adderall or whatever the various excuses are, whether there was some Tide in their fingernail when they took the test.
Oh, I thought he might know how to take the test.
You know, they're aware of the situation, and that's what annoys Belichick, is losing these guys, even though Bolden was already out with the knee injury. Cut him? No, I don't see how you could possibly say, well, we kept Brandon Spikes and we signed Sammy Morris and traded for Aqib Talib, but you failed it, you're out.
I remember this, and it was a totally different situation, but I remember people last year, you know, projecting Julian Edelman getting cut from the team. Like, I remember that. And again, it's a different situation. People saying, well, you know, this character thing.
Yes. Thing.
And people saying, well, he's done now. And
Dundee test.
I'm not sure that, you know, there's going to be any fallout roster wise either for Bolden. But Vereen's gotten in there. He's looked good these last couple of weeks.
That's
my guy.
See
how he runs again.
It's an opportunity for him against the bad luck Bills.
Not going down. What is it, Taylor Price way?
Not going down. He's actually backing up. He was down there a little bit. He didn't like the neighborhood and the home values, so he's backing out.
He's actually looking for Kevin Falk Boulevard.
When you're backing up, Paul, you got to make sure you watch out for the camera behind you.
Yes. I will want to add one thing to Andy's analysis of Bolden. I agree. I don't think that it's going to affect his roster spot. But one thing to keep in mind, in reading some of the stuff, Mike Reese had an interesting thing today. He talked to a couple of personnel guys anonymously, who said that he had a lot of red flags coming out. That's one of the reasons why he wasn't drafted. And he did. We all knew that he had a suspension at Ole Miss going in. So this is a multiple offender in the eyes of the NFL, even though it's only one offense in the NFL. So might be something to keep an eye on in terms of the team saying maybe this is a guy whose decision-making can't be trusted. Can't be trusted. No, listen.
You kept Spikes.
I understand you kept Spikes.
If you're going to stick to your credentials of what you value and what you do.
But it's very simple. You have one guy, as Jimmy Johnson said on the Football Life this week. Yeah, everybody's treated different. That's my rule. Every player is treated differently. And one guy is a second-round pick, and one guy is an undrafted free agent. So there's a difference there, and you can certainly do that. I don't think they need to explain themselves to anybody.
I know. I would argue
I agree.
The production early in their careers, Bolden's been more productive in a short time than Spikes was early in history.
As I said, I don't think you're going to see Brandon Bolden lose his roster spot because of this.
I'll criticize it if it happens. want me to pat myself on the back? Well, I'm going to predict things now. I'm going to criticize it if they cut Brandon Bolden.
He actually advised Bill Belichick to hang on to Brandon Bolden.
I did, so Andy.
We'll see if Bill takes the advice. So you can weigh in on Bolden.
I never said that, Andy.
Also, those other topics that we have out there with Gregory back, where do you want to see McCourty line up?
Cornerback.
And what do you think the Patriots' chances are running the table
now,
in the second half?
Now, if he's at safety this week, does that mean anything?
I don't think it does. I don't think it does, because I think that you need to wait and see what happens when Talib is there.
Right. Or when Chung is back.
That's what I was going to say. Until they're fully healthy on the back end, maybe you can't read into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chung costing himself?
I do think there's a big chance that he plays corner safety today, though, even with Talib not here. I think there's a chance that he goes with McCourty and Gregory at safety.
Well, yeah, I think we've all decided we're not really sure Tavon Wilson is a starting safety in the NFL right now.
Right, but, you know.
And we know Nate Ebner isn't. So until Chung gets back, you can't really make your overall assessment of the secondary. But again,
yeah, you're right.
Costing himself a lot of money.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. We'll get into your phone calls, 508-298-0398. As we like to do during each and every Patriots pregame, we check in with a member of the Patriots fan club.
You gotta fight! Bam! For your right to party!
Got a good tailgate?
Oh man, they're playing one hell of a party.
Think you're the loudest group at Gillette?
Woo-wee!
It's time we find out as we hear from our fan club of the week.
And to do that, we check in with Chris from the Patriots fan club of Punta Gorda. Looking at our emails, I can already see he's sending his pictures to webradio at patriots.com. You can also do that using the hashtag PPGS. Chris, what's the atmosphere like out there?
It's hot and getting ready for some football this afternoon.
For those of us that are morons geographically, where is Punta Gorda?
It's in southwest Florida, okay. In between Tampa and Fort Myers.
Is it fat there?
What's that?
Is it fat? Doesn't that mean Fat Point?
I've never heard that.
Oh. Doesn't Gordon mean fat?
But it's in between Tampa
Camera's
Bay and
with him over there.
Fort Myers, Florida.
I'm sorry, I hit my head earlier.
Let's get to the more important aspects of this call. What are you guys doing for the game? What are we eating today? That's all I care about.
We're eating hamburgers, cheeseburgers, probably the best in town.
Now, why are they the best in town? What makes them special? And how big is Punta Gorda?
On their old-fashioned, the way that they cook their hamburgers, it's the old-fashioned style hamburger, and it's phenomenal.
Meat? Now, we're talking about an 80-20 mix, 85-15, because I think that's key to a good burger. You got to have the fat in there.
Yeah, I think there's more fat than anything else.
Nice. I like those. When they borderline catch on fire on the grill, that's where you want to be.
It's like a Bubba burger.
Yeah. How many people get together down there generally? What kind of club is it?
We're looking for a big turnout. We got a big Veterans Day celebration going on.
Nice.
So we're actually looking for a big turnout. We're looking for approximately 50 to 60 fans today.
Nice.
And it's really warm, you said. So what's the female situation? You got a lot of women?
We got some really pretty girls, yes. We got some really pretty girls.
Photos would be appreciated.
Not so pretty guys, but a lot of pretty girls.
Don't need photos of those.
No, send some photos in of the pretty ladies, especially if it's hot.
I am going to be sending a bunch of photos to you guys.
Look, and send a burger if you can. FedEx it.
All right. Well, why don't you guys come on down here? We'll treat you well.
I wish. If you get Fred to approve it, my boss, I'm there in a heartbeat.
Right. We literally just learned where it was, but we will we will try to book something down there. He's Chris calling in from the Patriots fan club of Punta Gorda. Chris, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
See you.
Enjoy the game.
All right, and again, you can follow
Paul
suit.
Would fit right in down
you
there.
You can follow suit just like Chris did.
Fat Point.
You can send in your pictures.
I like having fun with Patriots fans, right. Watching the game, eating burgers, drinking beers.
I'm on board with the FedExing the burger idea, too. That was one of your better ideas. You should hit your head more often. That was that's an excellent idea. By the way, you can send in your pictures as well. WebRadioPatriots.com.
Never heard that.
That
doesn't it mean Fat Point?
PPGS. I took Spanish. I don't know any, but I
Gordo is fat.
Gordo is fat, yes.
Paul knows
that's
fat.
That's correct.
And so what are you saying? Gorda is
Punta
is
either
feminine
point
fat?
Or... Yeah, it does have a little, but I think punta, the word, might be feminine in general. But I also thought punta, there's a close word that means a naughty word there, right?
Correct, yes. Like, those are the kind of words I know in Spanish.
Okay, so it could be that, a fat that. But I like how they never heard that, the guys.
never heard of Billy Bear.
Yeah,
never heard.
Right. Never heard of that. Let's continue with the phone calls. 508-298-0398.
Don't you wish we got burgers
Chester
on game day?
Is in Portland, Oregon. Sorry, I wish every single day that we had burgers in here. Chester's in Portland, Oregon. What are your thoughts on the game here, Chester?
Hey, greetings from the Northwest, guys. How you doing, Jay?
Chesta.
Hey, Punta Gorda means fat hooker, guys. Wake up.
Well, yeah, but I think it, because I don't think Punta Cana means Cana hooker. So I think Punta also means point.
I'm wikiing it.
Either way, it sounds like a good time to me.
I agree. It's either a fat point or a fat hooker.
Hey, great poll question today, by the way. What is the best unit on the field? Got me thinking.
And
it helps with the... Can't help but to wonder what Fred would answer on that one. Well, he has an eye for unity.
Geno's.
And it's interesting that we put that poll question up when Vasante Shenko is now active for the Patriots. I'm just saying.
You know, yeah, nice.
You can Google his unit.
Yeah, we shall see on that
Brandon
one.
Spikes. You can see that on the internet, too.
Vince Wilfork, maybe not so much.
Oh.
He hasn't seen his unit.
I was going to say, I actually checked myself.
That is a Punta Gorda right there.
Yeah. Don't tell him I said that. Anyway, my thought here is D-line. It's not listed on the list there, but I think that's been a really consistent group for us, and namely with stopping the run. I'd like to think linebackers, but as far as coverage goes, I don't know. I don't see the linebackers as being there. Of course, the tight ends with everyone healthy, but... anyway, as far as today goes, DBs are on display, boys. The audition, let it begin. It's going to be real interesting to see if the hot fire is lit and to see if these guys are going to, bounce back and try to fight for some jobs. If it's anything like you and I, you see somebody at the interview table, everybody's, bringing their game on the next day. Big question today, who's going to line up at safety? Chandler lighting us up for 2 touchdowns last game. I think we're going to lack some size there. I'm really interested to see what we do on that end. I think McCourty's too small. I think Wilson's too small, So that's going to be a real interesting matchup. Granted, I think if we get ahead early, we're really going to have to see against the pass on that end. I'm also wondering, is Shanko really going to be a viable option? I'm not overly familiar with how much exposure they get with gameplay and obviously some playbook exposure, but is he going to have enough upstairs to really grasp the offense right away and get out of the chute early? I'm thinking Fells maybe takes more of a prominent role in that area, but love to hear what you guys think.
Well, I think Shanko's been here long enough so that the playbook should be well understood. You're right, he doesn't have as many reps on the field as some other guys might, but I think his history as a talented pass catcher, proven veteran pass catcher in the NFL, and the amount of time that he's been here should make him an option as soon as they want him to be an option, as soon as they think they need him. So I would say that, but I think Wilson has pretty good size.
Yeah, I think he's bigger than the safeties, the starting safeties.
Yeah,
he's 6'1",
and
I think
thick.
Wilson.
He's got big.
He's 210-ish.
He's a little yoked. I'm not talking about his unit.
That's all he can talk about is how big guys are. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God, in a sport where size matters.
By the way, definition of Punta Gorda, fat tip. So, sort of.
So, point.
Yeah, fat tip, fat point.
Yeah. So
same idea. You were onto it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean fat hooker.
Just the
right.
Tip. What?
Just when
why is he the only one allowed to be inappropriate?
Just when he criticizes you for having your mind in the gutter, he goes right there.
Is Chester still on the line?
He's still on the line.
Chester, are you still there?
I'm really interested to see if Shanko can use that athleticism. I'm excited to get him on board, and I think with Hernandez out, it'd be just really nice to see.
I think it is an interesting element to the game because I think Andy's right. I think he's been around all year, so the playbook shouldn't be a problem, and he's practiced for a couple of weeks, so he should have some repetitions,
right.
Under his belt. So I think you can get a reasonable performance out of him. It's not like Kellen Winslow. When he came in all of a sudden, 3 days later, he's out there and there was probably a very small portion of the game plan that he knew and could compete in. I don't think you'll see that. And I also think with Fells and Manawa Nui, you've seen them a little bit more often and contributed a little bit more the last month or so as they've gotten more comfortable. So I think there was a chance to have some different roles for these guys. And it'll be one of the things to watch today to see how Bill implements them all.
Well, my guess is Shanko makes a couple plays today, and I can already envision, ESPN. And the Patriots get richer at tight end. Veteran Shanko, touchdown something. That'll happen. I'm predicting it.
When all five are healthy, assuming all five ever get healthy, at tight end, do you see all of them sticking?
I find that hard to believe. To me, that's a huge investment.
Even when you touched on the versatility earlier, though, with the guys doing
a lot of
different
things. Yeah,
I
guess if you say, four of them are tight ends and one's really a fullback, and you wanted a fullback all along, the thing is, though, they have, they now have a window. Okay, if you consider Manawa Nui, a fullback, Bolden's not on the roster for the next 3 weeks after this as we start to get into roster considerations. So maybe you consider him your extra running back and... as you massage these things,
maybe Hernandez is more of a receiver.
Yeah, that. But also, to me, there's just guys on this roster I could cut in a heartbeat. Like Derek Martin. Bye, Derek.
Wow.
Well, you just got here. Bye-bye. I know you only win Super Bowls and play for great teams.
I should know this. Is Malcolm Williams still on the roster?
Yes, he's inactive today. I just said his name 10 minutes ago, so you should know this.
Yeah.
If we're talking about Gorda, there's some Gorda on this roster. There's some fat that could be trimmed if you want to keep
Gordo.
Those guys. Right?
Yeah.
Norton here.
And it's not at the tip. It's at the base. Yeah. It's at the bottom.
What do you think? All five stick?
No. I think if at some point you're going to need some roster flexibility.
Yeah, we got to keep Malcolm Williams.
And I don't think
we got to keep Derek Martin. Here's where I mock him and he gets mad. You got to keep Jake Beckett.
Rod
couldn't
Rice.
Put him on IR.
Oh, I didn't say you couldn't keep five tight ends if you didn't want. If they want to, I certainly think that you're right about
Jake
that.
Jake Beckett got to get his letter.
There's a lot of guys that I think they could easily cut if they wanted to and gone from there. I don't think they will do that though, and I think O'o Manawanui would be the guy that I think would probably, if Shanko works out, if he stays, I think that they would probably. Probably get rid of but yeah, I agree with Andy. If they want to keep all five, there's plenty of
Gorda,
plenty of candidates,
plenty of Gorda.
You can to go you back can, to the practice squad.
You can lop right off. We'll continue with your thoughts. 508-298-0398. Emails to webradio at patriots.com. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. Here on Patriots.com. Time now for our Bose headphone giveaway. The eighth caller to the contest line at 508-298-0392.
Did the Bose contest complete line. The perfect season?
508-298-0392. Oh, yeah. What was that?
I was just checking to see if the Bose completed the perfect season.
The Jumbos.
Oh,
Tufts University completed the 0-8 slate.
Apostrophe. Gotcha.
Second straight 0-8 slate.
You can call in and win a pair
in a row, I believe.
Bose. B-O-S-E.
Yeah, Bose.
B-O-S-E. SIE2 Sport headphones. To push your workout to the limits, you need headphones that keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat, and weather resistance, a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok fitness armband. You demand more from your workout? Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, game-changing sound. We'll continue to focus in on this game. Patriots-Bills, 1 o'clock Eastern time kick. We'll get the guys' keys next here on Patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank of AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo!
Get inside the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Second hour, Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We've learned so far today, Aaron Hernandez officially ruled out for the Patriots along with Patrick Chung, which means Steve Gregory, Logan Mankins, active for the Pats. Your thoughts there, including the fallout in the secondary. Where do you want to see Devin McCourty line up? You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We've also looked ahead a bit to the potential impact of Aqib Talib when he joins the team, hopefully as soon as next week. And we've also thrown out the possibility of the Patriots running the table in the second half for the third straight year. Patriots take on the 3-5 Bills, 1 o'clock Eastern time here in Foxborough. And to focus in on that game, let's get Andy and Paul's keys.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, Belichick's amp for it. What do you got, Andy?
Very simple. No big plays. This game can only be swayed on big plays. That could be C.J. Spiller and Chris Brown, obviously very high on just, you know, letting him take over, letting him try to win games for that team, getting him the ball more than, you know, 7 or 8 times a game, taking advantage of his 7-point whatever yard average.
He's been telling Chan Gailey, just like you've been
right.
telling Belichick. Yes.
Chan Gailey
yes.
should listen.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he should shave his beard. Second, he should listen to his personnel assessments. But I think, you know, in the secondary, the same thing. You know, I think the Bills had 6 20-yard pass plays the first time, something in that range. You've had the bye now, and if you spent the bye not only trading for Aqib Talib but trying to clean up that biggest weakness, you'd like to see some fruit from that labor in this contest. So, you know, stop the big plays, and I think they win.
Yeah, to me, it's big plays, I guess it's the same thing, but to me, it's just protect the football. And it hasn't really been a problem all season long. They've done a great job of avoiding turnovers. They generally do. But when they have had occasional problems, it's because of turnovers.
Well, and that Buffalo game is a good example of it.
Yeah,
a couple of early fumbles
in
that one, and Buffalo jumped
game
out to the lead.
They had 2 fumbles in that game, sure.
And, same thing last year, right, too? Wasn't that the
Woodhead game,
the tip off his hand, the throw and all that? Was
Brady
one of the
threw
turnovers.
The game the one they lost,
in Buffalo, yeah.
Brady
threw
4 picks
in that game. So, to me, that's the only – you know, Andy said early in the show that 0.0% chance of an upset, and I agree. If you want to get technical, I suppose we go 0.1%, the Patriots turn the ball over like 4-plus times. That's
see, I
literally
they
don't
turn
think
it over that much, and if they don't give up big plays, I still don't think the Bills can take advantage.
Well – I think if they turn
I think
the
if
ball
the Bills don't
times,
have a 60-yard run from Spiller and a couple 30-yard pass plays and a big return from McKelvin or whatever, I think they have 0.0 shot.
See, I think that the difference in the first game was obvious in the turnovers, and that's
you know
how
what?
I feel.
If they turn it over on their own 20, maybe.
Oh,
otherwise,
no, I
don't think there's a
I
chance.
I know what you're saying. I'm not taking you super literal. You don't have to defend yourself.
I'm being literal, though. No chance.
If they turn
barring
the ball
10 turnovers, no chance.
So you have 0.0. He's got 0.1 over there. For
yeah,
he's a worry
I don't,
be
I don't
guy's
see
a worry wart.
That is
yeah,
true.
That's
worry
why he's
wart
got no hair.
I have the Patriots winning and covering comfortably, and I'm a worry wart. Anyway.
Looking at this game, though, and you mentioned some of the weapons for the Bills. Spiller, and I thought Chris Brown sort of underscored this. I mean, Spiller's really the one who strikes fear into the team. Who else do you kind of focus on with those weapons for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, I mean, Fred Jackson has had productive games against the Patriots. He's made plays. Stevie Johnson has made plays. You know, the first time the Chandler, the tight end, made some plays, and people, you know, are still worried about the pass coverage of guys like Hightower and even Mayo, although Mayo, I think, has been pretty good in coverage this year. He's given up some plays where you're like, son's a bitch. You can't really ask a linebacker built like him. Your big, yeah, stout linebacker to be much closer than that.
Yeah, he's had very few plays that he's looked bad,
right,
on in coverage.
He didn't make a few, but you know, he fits in with this team where he didn't make
the
play when he was there.
Most of the time, he's either allowed a completion and immediately made the tackle, or has been right there. I think more so than what people have normally been complaining about the corners, while they're not turning their heads and stuff. I haven't seen that with the corners as much as I have with Mayo, and that's not really, the best thing that the Patriots linebackers do. I think maybe Hightower might be a little bit underrated in that guy. You know, we saw him be competitive with Jimmy Graham back in some of those joint practices with New Orleans here. Graham was beating him, and, you know, that's to be expected. You have an all-pro tight end against a rookie linebacker, but
he got toasted in that. It's when he got hurt, too.
Yeah, and that's one of the plays that Andy talked about during the summer way back when.
But I think he struggles in coverage.
Oh, no, I don't think any of the three linebackers, I wouldn't necessarily call any of them cover linebackers.
But I think Mayo is competitive.
Yep.
I think so far Spikes and Hightower are non-competitive.
Spikes' thing to me is...
on the internet.
It's unreal how often... male
members. Oh, just talk
are on
about
his mind.
Spike's thing.
I think he takes up a lot of space when he drops in the middle of zones.
Always on his
that was
mind.
What was unbelievable
you
about
should
that
know
is it
I
was
got
just,
a little wiener.
It was just so quick. Like,
because it's always on his
like,
mind.
Spike's thing, and I was like, oh, I get it now. Like, I'm the one who bumped my head. Yeah.
Do you get it?
I get it now, yeah.
All when right, you only think about male members,
he can't just continue.
That's the only thing on his mind,
everybody at
Adam.
Home was like, kind of a little chuckle. Paul will hopefully keep talking. Oh, no, Paul stops.
The cockle gobbler.
Now, that's funny right there.
It's kind of sad, really.
Not really. It's very funny.
I'm so amused. I'm so amused right now.
I thought it was interesting. Adam Schefter had a tweet about, you know, the Patriots personnel stuff with – regard to the inactives and stuff, and he includes Brandon Lloyd. You know, Brandon Lloyd will play, you know, as one of the guys that was questionable. Might he have some information that, I mean, we kind of get immune to the injury report that's always going to have 15 or so questionable guys, many of which we don't ever really worry about whether or not they're going to play until all of a sudden they don't play.
Well, it's like Pro Football Talk had a whole post this morning that Gronkowski will play. Just, you mean like he had the previous 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Like that?
And played really well
the last
two before the bye?
But I hold Adam Schefter in a lot higher regard than I do Pro Football Talk. That's the only
I think
only
he was just
there.
Playing the information guy who's going by the book.
Could
These
right.
guys are listed as questionable, and they're all going to play.
You could
be
the
right. Welker one, to me, is more interesting. You actually had a concern.
Yeah.
Not that he was on the injury report, because he was on the injury report all along, but that he re-injured that one,
yeah,
or injured the other one.
And that's why I thought... I saw him write him as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't take too much into it.
So Welker left, Spikes left. They're both the previous game against St. Louis in London. You know, they were both in the same boat.
And
in
Spikes
that game.
Has been interesting because he's been, you know, riding a bike and sort of at practice, but not, you know, kind of on the periphery at times.
And they're both active for this one. Both of them being Welker and Spikes. I want to circle back for a second. You guys highlighted Lloyd. Not that we want to go through everything in handout grades, but we're at the midway point. It's fashionable to hand these things out. What would you give Brandon Lloyd or that Brady Lloyd connection for a grade here through eight games?
C-. I think they've had to work way too hard to get him the production that he's had. I don't think it's looked natural. I'm with Paul that he doesn't get a lot of separation. I don't think he's looked like a big play threat on the field. I think it's been less, and as Rodney Harrison said, less than what the Patriots hoped for and expected out of him.
Yeah, Rodney Harrison called it a big disappointment.
So,
but isn't a big disappointment Ocho Cinco? Like, it's clearly been better than that.
Yeah, because they forced the ball to him.
I don't think he's – yeah, I think if they wanted to
do – Ocho screens, he would have –
if they wanted to do
production.
This with Ocho Cinco last year, his numbers would be –
maybe they tried to, and he just didn't know what they were talking about.
That's true.
His numbers, I think, would be similar if they tried to do what they've done with Lloyd in the first eight games. I really think that. You know, if they threw, you know, two or three screens to him every game – and forced a couple of back shoulder fades to him down the sideline, I think he would have made, you know, twice as many catches in the first eight games as he did. And he was a colossal bust. Now, I wouldn't put Lloyd in that category, but I agree with Andy. I think they wanted him to be
this. So he's more of a Kelly Pickler than a Dolly Parton?
Yeah, he wanted to be this element on the outside the numbers. See, now when I keep talking, you still make fun of me. It's unbelievable.
He does have a point there, Andy.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I let that one go. I kept talking.
Okay, well, where would we go?
But once you actually talked about a female, which I thought was encouraging.
Where would we go with Trevor Scott? Because C. Harris 28 wants to know, how big a waste of money was Trevor Scott?
Did he get any money, though?
He got some.
Well,
not like huge money, but money you could have spent somewhere else.
It was a one-year contract, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was three. I thought they all were three this year.
Maybe you're right.
But
anyway,
I do know Fred Kirsch expected him to be one of the top five playmakers on the defense.
In any regard, who was the tweeter?
At safety, too.
Yeah.
Underwhelming.
Playmaker at safety.
He's given you nothing.
Yeah, nothing. And as we kind of all expected. I mean,
except
for
Fred.
If you actually looked at it legitimately, the guy played like 16 games last year, had like two tackles. You know, he hasn't been good. His career best was like four sacks. As a rotational guy a few years ago. I mean, he's never been anything, so I don't know why.
What does it say about Jake Beckett?
I don't know. That he isn't good.
But he's not able to get in front of a guy who is not able to get on the field, do anything.
Shuffling his way down Taylor Price way.
Oh, certainly. Because I expected him, we've talked about this. I thought he might have a chance to contribute immediately as just a sub-rusher. And then not ever advance from that.
I like it.
He's looking like Kevin O'Connell Court.
He makes fun of Fred for being off on his preseason prediction and then circles right back to Beckett.
Well, no, I'm telling you I was wrong. I'm making fun of myself for being off. Mm-hmm. I just thought, the SEC is almost the NFL, and he was a very productive guy over a four-year career there. He had a two-time captain, made play calls for the defense as a defensive end. And you're thinking, wow, this is a heady, productive guy who could come right in and contribute, and he's been the exact opposite. He's been like Taylor Price trying to learn an offense or something.
Focusing in here on some of these emails, webradio@patriots.com. That's where John writes in, guys, do you think we'll get a preview of next week's defensive backs lineup based on who Bill rolls out there today? In other words, is there any chance McCourty plays safety today and corner next week?
Yes, I think there's a chance of that.
How likely?
I think it's pretty likely. I mean, Chung is out. I mean, you're not healthy at safety.
Who plays corner today if McCourty plays safety?
Dennard and Arrington? Is Arrington out?
I thought Arrington was... No? Did I miss that?
Oh. I don't know. I didn't think he was out. Is he?
Oh, I might have screwed that up. Never mind. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance, like Andy said, that you could see him do one this week and the other next week. I would just...
Although he did take my advice, and he's trying to find some continuity.
Yeah, and if you take that at any kind of face value, does he want to keep him in the same spot, or is it just necessity? I can't keep him at the same spot this week because I don't have...
Right.
Ops. I don't know.
And then how often is that going to pop up when you have Chung who misses some time the last couple of years? So.
The Bills aren't wearing those blue pants that I wanted to see. That's unfortunate.
Now suddenly he cares about the pant tweets.
I don't care.
I think, by the way.
That was laced with sarcasm.
Your and us and everybody's making fun of writers has really cut down on the tweets out of the press box pregame.
Yeah.
Now it's like. Inactives, and here's what the inactives mean. No more like the funny who's out there in gloves, who's doing X, who's doing Y. They've really cut down on them.
I don't think I follow enough of the writers, to be honest. I only follow a couple.
Maybe you should. You know more.
You guys are on there, if that makes you feel any better.
You might want to follow some more weather people, too, so you know what the extent of storms are.
No, I was right. It didn't really have much of an effect here in Boston.
What?
He's a flipping moron.
You're claiming right?
I haven't seen Paul this mad in a while.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking to myself,
Paul's pissed.
That one really came back to bite him in the ass, didn't it?
I'm 100%.
You're claiming right?
The whole day, I believe there's a hurricane.
So you're one of those guys that you predict a game, and the team that you predict loses the game by 30 points, and you say, well, I was right because the way the game played, if they didn't turn the ball over 11 times, I would have won.
No. I said that I didn't think it was.
The storm was every bit as powerful as all of the weathermen said it was.
Yeah, just
it had a dramatic impact throughout the region, hitting hardest, obviously, in the New York, New Jersey area, as they said it would.
Yeah.
And you're still claiming.
We talk. Go pull up the audio. We talk about
how many thousand.
I believe
30?
It would hit New York. I said I didn't think it would hit New York.
What were the power company? 300,000 people without power?
Yeah, something
no impact. No impact in New England. You, my friend, are insane.
I sat there. I went to Starbucks.
You
in the morning.
Did. It's not all about just you.
I went to Starbucks in the morning and the bar
Andy,
that
you got
to
help
that
me
night
here.
And watch the Niners game. It was
Andy.
It was
I need a little bit of help here.
He's an idiot. I don't even.
Thank
feel
you
like
very much.
It's not even worth the energy.
I mean, nothing even closed down by me.
By you? Why do you think you're the only person on the planet?
That's all I was talking
wow.
about. I didn't
that
say
says a lot about you.
So,
you only
so,
care
wait
about
a
yourself. Good,
no, no, no.
Good job.
So that's basically you were saying before the storm that as long as I am not impacted in any way, this will not impact anybody.
No, that's not what I was saying.
Well,
I just
you
said
can't
I
say that it didn't have an impact.
I didn't. That's not what I said. I said I didn't think it would impact me. I never said I didn't think it would hit anywhere. I didn't think it would just magically miss the entire
you
East Coast.
You implied that the storm would be drastically overblown here, and it wasn't. It was exactly
it was
what they
here.
Said. No, it wasn't. It was exactly what they said it was going to be here.
Dead on.
Eh? Better start wearing my scarves for the next time we get the weather blowing
listen,
in here.
Listen, we all get them wrong. We all predict stuff. We all make mistakes. Yeah. The easiest way to do it is just say, I was wrong.
If I were wrong, I would admit
there you
that.
Go.
Playing the role of Andy Hart.
There you go.
If I
I'll
were
let
wrong,
you know when I'm wrong.
If I were wrong. I
and the only way
me,
he's wrong,
will,
by the way, is if a tree falls on his house and kills him. And then he can't tell us he was wrong because he's dead.
Yeah, or if the
because it's only about him.
Or if any of the local establishments by me closed, you know, maybe that would impact me in one way or another. Didn't impact my day one bit. 508-298-0398. I did have to throw on a jacket. That soured my day a little bit. Let's continue with the emails. Web radio. At Patriots.com. Let's go to...
Now I know why the listeners hate you.
Let's go to Melvin.
Yeah.
Go to Melvin.
Can we get to Kevin Falk Day? I told you in the break to say Kevin Falk Day.
Yeah, he wasn't interested in that because it's all him. About him.
It's Kevin Falk Day here at Gillette Stadium. He'll be honored at halftime. A franchise legend. And Adam doesn't care. It's like Superstorm saying
look at
he
him.
Just doesn't care.
He's just going to let you finish and then he's just going to move on to whatever it is Melvin. That he wanted to do.
Do you have any more thoughts on Kevin Falk? Before we get to Melvin?
No, I want to get to Melvin. Because I bet you Melvin cares about Kevin Falk and his career accomplishments and acknowledging what a key player he was for more than a decade for this team.
Melvin joins us here. What are your thoughts on the game today, Mel?
Well, as far as Kevin Falk goes, I love Kevin Falk. I thought he was the ultimate team player.
Thank
I thought
you.
He came in to do what he had to do.
See, I thought Troy Brown was the ultimate team player.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Thank you, Melvin. You're a very smart Patriots fan.
Yeah, you're not an idiot like our host.
Thank you very much for bringing some sanity to the show.
So I thought we already went through the ultimate team player thing a couple years ago. I thought
that's
we already
too
had
ultimate
that one.
Team
wait, it can only be one? So in other words, there was a bad hurricane in 1934 that destroyed the area, and it's never going to get any worse than that. So nothing. The weathermen are just...
ultimate sort of implies above, but yeah.
They're all a bunch of chicken littles. So, you know, oh no, the sky's falling.
We all like Kevin Falk, though, Melvin.
You are a moron.
What are your thoughts on the game?
Well, I just want to know is are the safeties back for this game? Because I want to see if we're going to, you know, having improvements on the safety play with possibly Chung and Gregory being back. I didn't get the word on that. I'm just
Chung,
taking work.
So. Chung is out. Gregory's back.
Okay. Well, hopefully this game won't let, you know, the tight end split us down the middle of the field anymore. But other than that, you know, that's the only thing I could really take from this game. I think we could be able to – we should handle them and maybe beat somebody from the get-go this time instead of playing around with them. You know,
I have a question for you, Melvin, because you're an astute – observer, and one of the questions that's sort of been low-lying is they can throw the ball, they can run the ball, and this is a defense where you can either throw the ball or run the ball. They suck at both. Are you one that wants them to continue to establish the run? Do you want to see a run early, or are you like Paul Perillo who wants to see them old school throw and then run later?
I think that they should go ahead and, you know, let them run first and see if they can get it going and then learn to adjust after that. I always like, I mean, as dangerous as this offense has been throughout the years, with the running game that I've seen, it makes them even more unbalanced unpredictable. And, you know, it adds another dimension to this offense that they really weren't, you know, they really haven't had these last couple of years. So I think that they should go ahead and try to establish the run early, and if it's, you know, getting going, then let them continue to run and keep the defense guessing. But if it's not working, then you do have Tom Brady back here. You do have, you know, great tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, you name it, you got it. So if that fails, then just leave the ball in Tom Brady's hands and let him, you know, go to work.
That's the right answer, Mel. Good call.
Circling back to Kevin Falk, by the way, because I did have a thought
you're
on
not
this.
You're not even going to let Paul respond?
I did have a thought on this.
Now he wants to talk Kevin Falk. We brought something else up. Now he wants to go back to Falk.
I want to establish the offense first, and I want to get out in front. I want to get a lead. I want to throw the ball. I want to get a lead and then worry about balance. And I would use as one of my exhibits the first Buffalo game. 250 yards rushing. Couldn't have run the ball any more effectively than you did. And yet, with 8 minutes left in the third quarter, you had 7 points on the board. Now, I understand there were some circumstances to that. You had two very uncharacteristic turnovers, and you also had two very uncharacteristic missed field goals.
Throwing the ball to those guys who turned the ball over afterwards.
Right, yeah. We don't want to accentuate Welker and Gronkowski. Absolutely. So I am not sitting here suggesting that they should run the ball 5 to 8 times a game. I want to get between 20 and 25 every game. With carries. I just don't necessarily feel the need to, quote-unquote, establish the run early in games. I like the way they did it against the Rams, where they established a lead and then said, now let's give our running back some. And I think that's what we might see a little bit more of today. And I kind of agree with our guest, Chris Brown, from earlier in the show. I'm not sure they've made enough adjustments physically to stop the Patriots from doing whatever they want to do.
Well, they can't. They suck both ways.
But you'd like to at least see a schematic, like at least see a coaching change, or at least have them personally, try to address it. Yes,
I would stick with the if I were Chan Gailey, I would say, you know what, Dave, stay with the small package, stay with the extra defensive backs, you know, the small personnel.
Yes,
I can't use the word package anymore on
the tiny
Patriots
package,
pregame
yes,
social.
The tinier package.
I didn't say anything.
Stay with the small
yourself.
Personnel. You know, with the extra defensive backs, there's no way. You can justify allowing 250 yards rushing. I don't care if you have 11 defensive backs on the field. You cannot allow an NFL team to do that. And, you know, Chris had mentioned that, according to their coaches, that in their tabulations, that was their high mark for the season for missed tackles. There's no excuse for that. And that kind of gets to Andy's point about mentally with Buffalo. They checked out that day. They quit. And there's no reason for that. And if you have any pride in what you're doing, I don't have a problem necessarily with the game plan approach that Buffalo had in that first game. You just have to do a better job of executing it. You can't allow a team to do that. You know, there's a lot of teams that have attacked the Patriots offense with small personnel groups, and they've gotten away with it. Buffalo didn't even come close to getting away with it that day.
Circling back to Falk for a second, wouldn't it have a little bit more punch if they did it a couple of years down the line? Like, wouldn't it? Like, it almost feels like he never left, is sort of my point. Like,
well, they'll
have
another one when he's inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
You know,
with
but
that.
It's like we do it too quick.
It
sort of feels like he never left. So, you know, fans maybe are a little, and even me, you're a little bit desensitized to it, right? Like, you haven't had a chance to reflect on the career, and you can go back and do it, but it doesn't feel like there was a buffer, I guess, before bringing him back. So that would be maybe why I'm not feeling the Kevin Falk day quite as much.
You think he'll
it doesn't affect you personally.
Do you think he'll get inducted to the Patriots Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
and I do
have too. Another day.
I mean, that's the day that they should do it.
And they will.
I absolutely think he'll get
just
inducted.
Just like they did with Troy. You know, and I think
they
Adam,
do both, right?
I agree with Adam on that one.
They do both. I mean, that's what they
No, I'm talking about the halftime ceremony that we had earlier this season for Troy. This is the year that he didn't get inducted.
No, but you're right. But when they brought back Bledsoe, they do it again, right? Like they do
I thought they have done both for guys.
So they've had 3 days, is what you're saying. Like the Hall of Fame day and two different halftime days?
Yeah, well, the halftime before the Hall of Fame day. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I didn't know that they did it twice for Troy. I thought they just did it this year.
I don't know Troy specifically, but I'm pretty sure this is the precedent they're setting.
You're probably right. I don't.
And they definitely, Bledsoe was definitely at halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this wasn't it the same year that he got inducted? No?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was. Yeah.
Was there another one in addition to that?
I don't know.
Because I don't agree with that.
Because his wasn't, I mean, he was gone. He was in Buffalo and Dallas, and it was a different case. But
well, I guess you're
like
right.
Like Teddy Bruschi, I'm pretty sure, had a Teddy Bruschi day, and I'm pretty sure there'll be another halftime
presentation. I'm with Adam on that one. I don't need that. When he gets inducted, you do it. And if he's a guy that it goes 3-4 years and doesn't look like he's going to get inducted, and you want to have
this
a day for him,
is a
bring
whopping
him back.
16 inches.
And to be honest with you, if he's not a Patriots Hall of Famer, he probably doesn't deserve a halftime ceremony anyway.
You got a thought on Kevin Falk Day? You can weigh in. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Coming up next, we'll get to our six-pack. We'll also head up to the press box as we wrap up the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank.
More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots Pregame Social.
It's your guy, Dante Hightower. We were talking about
member of the Pro Football Focus All-Rookie Midseason Team, so, along with Chandler Jones.
So, question. We handed out a grade. I'll only have you guys do this one more time.
We could do all 53 if you want.
We won't do that.
Good
we
radio
did,
right
we
there.
We did Brandon Lloyd.
Brady, A.
Your feeling on the rookie class here through eight games?
Jones, Hightower, very impressive. I think as much or more than you could have expected out of that first-round trade-up duo. Wilson, I think he's kind of been what you expected, which was uncertainty, didn't know whether he was really worthy of the pick or not, and I think you've seen a guy that has looked at times unworthy of the pick. What else we got?
Dennard.
Oh, Dennard. I like him.
Oh, I Dennard.
Do. No, well, if you flip-flop Wilson and Dennard, I might say, you know, that's a damn good draft. Because, you know, he was supposed to be a second-round pick, but he couldn't, and the other guy wasn't supposed to be a second-round pick, but he was.
Yeah, I would say I like probably like a B+. And most of that is on the shoulders of Jones. You haven't gotten a full season out of Hightower. You haven't gotten a full season out of Dennard. Those have been your next two best rookies. And I think that they've been impressive. Didn't mean to keep Andy awake.
Sorry.
Beyond that, you really haven't gotten anything, you know.
Well, yeah, Beckett would definitely be a downgrade because I had expectations.
Wilson has been as much a problem as anything
and
else.
I do like.
And Beckett can't get on the field.
Bolden, a little boost out of Bolden. Now, is this draft class or rookie class?
Well, if you go rookie class, yeah, you know, I suppose he's.
I do like the tie-in, by the way, with them moving up for their first rounders and them being all in on Tlaib as well. I do like the message that that sends. We'll see if it works out. But I did like that tie-in. I believe that was you who did that earlier, Andy.
It was.
You can pat yourself on the back. Check the emails, Web Radio.
A little sore. I don't know if I can reach.
Web Radio.
He needs no encouragement for
Patriots.com.
And Nate Ebner, by the way, a special teamer.
Was another one.
I'd like to say, what's he done?
Joe writes in.
I agree.
He's done nothing good in my eyes.
I agree.
He's given up a fake punt. He's given up plays in the secondary. Played more than you'd expect. I mean, a blocked punt. Played more than you'd expected, but, he peaked in the preseason. You know, there was some things you liked in the preseason. I haven't seen much I've liked at all in any real area. You know, has he stood out on special teams? He was supposed to be this kamikaze standout special teamer. Mike Vrabel told me people are going to love him as soon as they see him on special teams.
No, I think to the contrary.
What's he done?
What you said, I think he's been a liability on that punt protection unit.
So, right? Well, I was talking more in coverage.
It's hard to cover when you can't block the guys that are coming in to block the punt. And he's had problems with that, not just in the one that got blocked.
What's his name used to say, if you can't block, you can't play.
Yes.
Who was that? Brad Seeley?
Brad Seeley. If you don't know who to block, you can't play.
I think he swore, too. I think that might have been an F me. If you can't block.
That is exactly how it started, Andy.
But I didn't swear.
We'll continue with your thoughts here on this Patriots-Bills game. Your emails to Web Radio.
@patriots.com.
But let's get to the six.
You're allowed
here.
To say F, and or you could say a word that rhymes with it, right?
And preview
like
six
buck
games
me?
In the NFL today, aside from Patriots and Bills.
Nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Adam pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
All right, before we get to the six-pack, Kevin, how'd we fare on the last pregame social 2 weeks ago?
So 2 weeks ago, Andy made a bit of a comeback here.
I saw this.
5-1.
Suck it, Jones-Tradamus.
5-1.
Just so our listeners know, he gave me the visual suck it, too, the wrestling.
He did that because it's always on his mind.
I gave you the wrestling symbol. For
that's what I meant.
Because there's a difference.
Yes, well, that's true. That's a good point, yes. it wasn't quite
I just
as
gave him the
that's
other
what
one.
He was looking for.
Wasn't quite as graphic. Anyway, it was Andy 5-1.
Paul was 4-2.
And Jones.
And you were 3-3. Yeah. So you guys collectively did pretty well.
Even Steven.
Even with the
what are those season standings there?
No standings are
three down.
Paul in first place.
I did get the Hurricane.
Whoa. What were those season standings again?
Paul was in first place at 17-11.
Uh-huh.
Adam, 16-12.
So lurking. Yep.
And Andy, 13-15.
Way, way back. Dragging us down.
Well, it's a short sampling. You didn't start this six-pack at week one, did we?
I think we started at week two.
Because
like
it would be like 48 games by now. We're not there yet.
Also, there were a couple of weeks where we couldn't pick six.
Well, that was part of it, too.
Our six-pack got
it was more
into.
Of a, what do they call those loose ones or whatever that you can buy? The singles in the package?
Yeah, like a Lucy cigarette or something like that.
It was a 40.
That. All right, Collins. All right. What do we got first
game
in the six-pack?
Game one, Tennessee at Miami. Miami by 6.5.
I am going to stick with the home team here. I think Miami will win and cover. I do not think Chris Johnson will get off to a big game here, and I think that's the only way that the Tennessee Titans are capable of winning games these days. Won't happen, won't win. Thank you, Tannehill.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. Chris Johnson, if he went off, I think that they could go into Miami and certainly win the game. The Dolphins are pretty good against the run. I don't know if that's because people pass on him a lot. You know, I heard Boomer Esiason talking about that a little bit this morning.
Boomer.
And I agree. But I agree with Andy. I'm going to take Miami. I think Tannehill has got them thinking that they have a guy for the future, finally, after how many years it's been since Dan Marino retired. They might actually have a quarterback for the future in Miami.
It's boring, but we're going to go with the clean sweep for Miami. Tennessee has just been that bad, particularly defensively. So we will
catch you.
We will go with Miami at home, playing a little defense against Andy Hart here. What's our next
game
one, Kevin?
Number two, the Jets visiting Seattle by six.
You want me to go first this time so you don't have to give your pick?
Yes.
Okay. I am going to take Seattle in this game.
Oh, I took my pick.
I believe the Jets are still talking about the playoffs, and I think they should be commended for that. They're 3-5, but not throwing in the towel. But I just don't think they have enough offense to go into Seattle and get out in front far enough to dictate the way the game is played. I think it's a bad matchup for them playing against a good defense in a place that defense is clearly better in that environment. So I think that the Seahawks win this
right,
game.
Right, with
cover.
How loud the field is. I forgot about that.
The crowd is loud, not the field.
Yes, right. How loud
the field actually makes no noise.
The crowd
it's
is.
It's a nice, soft, rubber
another
field
one that universally everybody came home saying the same thing except for Adam Jones and Scott Zolak. And, you know, would to believe Adam Jones.
And they play
Zolak.
The lead roles in Dumb and Dumber.
I didn't necessarily say, you know, it wasn't loud. I just think it's overstated.
It was just 80, 90 miles an hour.
I didn't necessarily say that there was, you know, mass destruction. But
it's, you know, my head wasn't ripped from the body by the wind.
30,000 people were out of power.
Just think it's a little overstated. That's
okay.
All. Well, I do have the Jets covering that 6 points. I got to admit, I don't love it, but I don't really see Seattle running away from them.
Andy picked up a game because the New York Jets will tank. They're going to get overwhelmed by the crowd, the pass rush. Sanchez is going to be all over the place making mistakes. That is too physical a defense for a soft team. Not necessarily physical, but mentally the Jets are a soft football team. They're going to get squashed by the situation.
Loud stadium. It's a loud stadium. The 12th man. I don't know if you've heard about it. What's
your
our third one?
Loud.
Game three.
When I'm with her.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Right. No. Detroit at Minnesota. Detroit by 2.5.
I like Detroit in this game. I think they're coming on. I think Stafford's played a little bit better the last couple of weeks. I think he continues to try to get Calvin Johnson back involved. Last week was Megatron's best game of the season. I think that continues, and as you guys know, I think nothing of Minnesota.
I don't think highly of them either. I will take them as a home dog, though, over Detroit. I agree. The Lions have been playing better. Minnesota was playing over their heads early in the season. I feel like after the struggles they've gone through the past few weeks, this will level out, especially at home. So I'll go with the Vikings.
I'm going with the Vikings as well. I think they are due for a good performance here. A big day from Adrian Peterson, and I think Stafford comes back to reality. I think he's been better of late. I think he's going to look sucky again.
Game four, Atlanta at New Orleans, Atlanta by 2.
I have this as an upset special. I think the Saints win this game and knock off Atlanta and knock them out of the ranks of the unbeaten. I think that the Falcons are a better team than New Orleans, to be clear. I think they're more talented on both sides of the ball. But I just think that the Saints' offense is going to cause Atlanta to play in a way that they don't necessarily want to play and get it up around 30 and getting a little bit of a track meet. And with New Orleans being at home, I think this is the week that the Falcons fall.
I do not think it's the week that the Falcons fall. I think they go into into New Orleans, and I think they are trying to assert themselves. They seem to be perturbed and annoyed a little bit with the lack of respect.
Too much?
From people. Well, I'll let you know later.
That's the kind of insight you get from Andy Hart.
I think you could see a snowball game here from the Atlanta Falcons, a coming-out party. I think they could score a lot of points on the Saints, get a couple turnovers, and this could be a wide, wide victory.
There's a temptation to overthink it and go with New Orleans. Home dog, I feel the same way. Atlanta's just a better football team.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
They're a more balanced team.
I absolutely
agree. I know
you
said that as well, Paul. I don't think they're going to run the table. I don't think they're going to go undefeated, so they're going to have to trip up somewhere, and I understand the logic. But I will go with the Falcons beating New Orleans on the road.
Quick TL reel here. Is ESPN showing Lil Wayne
interviewing Randy Moss? Yes.
Moss?
Yeah, they've actually been hyping it the entire time, so that's exactly what it said on the screen. I just wasn't sure that's how it was going to play out.
I couldn't
but
have
yes.
much more interest, much less interest in either one of those two individuals.
No. I'm not talking about either of them because I don't care about them. But I'm talking about the credibility of ESPN.
Yeah. Well,
do you have any left? You have 8 million reporters, analysts.
Certainly went downhill when they hired me.
If you wanted to talk,
they hired Jones. And
everyone
then Wayne,
stopped
and
listening,
and now it's just.
Did your mom listen to that show?
No.
Oh, that hurt.
No.
Not even mom
now
listened.
Now it's just in trouble. Oh, I thought you had more there on Lil
Wayne.
No,
waiting for the next game.
I think there's nothing there.
Dallas at Philadelphia. Dallas by 2.5.
I like the Eagles in this game. I think the Eagles. I agree with Andy. They're two crappy teams right now, and generally my rule of thumb on that is to go with the home team. I think Philadelphia plays well against Dallas in general, and I just think that Michael Vick has the capability of having one of those games where he just overwhelms the other team. I think that. Neither one of these teams is going anywhere this year. I think that they're going to build this as the winner sort of saved its season. I don't believe that will be the case. I believe they're both done. But I will take Philadelphia.
I am going to go quick because Kevin needs to go do something about the Creed music that's playing at Gillette Stadium. He's rushing. I am going to take the Dallas Cowboys to win this desperation game, even though it's not really a desperation game because they're both done.
Yeah, we all agree with that sentiment. I will go with Philadelphia as well, home dog, picking up a game there on Andy. All right, what's the sixth game here, Kev?
The sixth game, Houston at Chicago, Chicago by 1.5.
The game of the week. To everybody except Fred Kirsch and somebody else on here, Michael Lombardi.
It's a pretty good game now.
And what do those two have in common? They are ultimate work for the Patriots homers. I will go with the – this is a tough one for me. I am going to go with the Chicago Bears at home, the home field advantage, the swarming defense. I think they are going to make the plays to win this football game as they have been doing. And I am just not comfortable. I would take Houston if they were at home. I'm going with the road factor here. I'm just not ready to pick Matt Schaub, primetime game against that type of a defense on the road. I just can't do it, so I'm going Bears.
I am going to do it. I'm going to go with Houston. I think that at some point you do not return 7 fumbles for a touchdown and block 3 punts and return those, and then what you fall back on offensively. And Jay Cutler, to me, has been very average this year. And I think a lot of that front for Houston, I don't think anything of the front offensively for Chicago. I think that adds up to a big night for J.J. Watt and Brooks Reed and Connor Barwin and Whitney Mercilus and their seemingly endless line of guys that can get after the passer. I think it's going to be a long night for Jay Cutler.
I'm pretty sure I picked Houston on the radio show.
And you also picked Houston in the paper.
Do you want to amend it? Because we'll mark it down now.
No, I think I've just changed my feeling because I do
because
recall,
I just said something you said. I never really thought of it that way.
I do recall saying the Houston front will get all over that Bears offensive line and they get to Cutler, and we all know what happens when Cutler right. gets rattled. He goes to the sideline and drinks whiskey.
We'll give you the
and
out.
It's all downhill from there.
We'll give you the out if you want it.
But
no.
No, you're going to stick with Chicago?
Chicago on the pregame show. I like it.
I'm going to win somewhere.
It was flattery for me.
I'd like to pick up another game on Andy.
No, but I remember saying Cutler's going to get rattled and get drunk and the game will be over.
I'd like to pick up another game on Andy, so I like him sticking with the Bears. I, too, am going with Houston. I think it's a relatively easy pick. I think Houston wins.
Thank you. You're an idiot.
Fairly easily. We'll get back into your emails, your phone calls.
Chicago's the number one team in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Now I know why he took Chicago.
I'm sorry, the what?
Hart Power Index?
Your mother knows what it is.
The Wilson Hart Power Index?
You really need to develop a new line.
Likes my line. I'll have to check out the Wilson Hart Power Index a little later on. We will get back to your feedback, but right now, as we lead up to Patriots and Bills, want to head up to the press box and check in with Eric Scalavino.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, Eric, we've been speculating quite a bit and gotten a lot of questions here on where Devin McCourty's going to line up today with the return of Steve Gregory. What have you seen through the pregame warmups?
It looks like he's back to where he normally is, which is left corner, and Gregory is back where he normally is, which is at free safety. So, but this wouldn't be the first time we've seen one thing in pregame warmups and another thing during the game, so don't hold me to that.
Okay, we never hold you to anything you say. Don't worry about it. But what have you seen from Shanko in his debut in a Patriots game day jersey?
Well, he's been active in the warm-up period, just as far as, you know, individual drills and such. Didn't see a heck of a lot of him just now, but they only took maybe 3 or 4 snaps and then went to punt and field goal and left the field. This has been, guys, I must say, probably the most boring ever Patriots pregame. They hardly came out at all as individuals and as a group. And when they did, it was really late, and there was hardly anything to report on all day. I've been really disappointed with this pregame, I got to say.
we actually
that says a lot because it's usually a you got your eyes glued to that stuff.
Well, I actually was giving the media credit, saying they had cut down on the so and so's on the field in gloves right now. Well, so
evidently there just was no
play.
One on the field.
So yeah,
no, it's been
maybe the band was on the field.
No, the band wasn't even on the field.
Eric, Arrington.
The military has been on the field.
Was Arrington on the other side with McCourty? Hi-ho.
I'm sorry?
Was Arrington on the other side with McCourty?
That's what we saw, yes.
Okay.
That's what was in the pregame showing. And then Alfonso Dennard was taking McCourty's spot on the left in second team reps.
Okay. So that leaves the door open. I think that if it were Dennard on the other side, I would say that definitely McCourty's going to stay at corner. But if Arrington's on the other side, that leaves the door open that you could do the thing that Eric's talking about. They've done this the last couple of games, and then McCourty's played safety, and you just plop, you know, the other guy in on the other side. But it'll be interesting to see how they
or it could just be a big ruse, and you know, who knows what we're going to get. Maybe we'd have McCourty and Gregory at safety and Dennard and Arrington. Who knows? I mean, it could be any number of combinations back there.
I'll jump it back to the other side of the ball, even though you said there was only a couple plays. But, you know, Logan Mankin's been in and out of the lineup, been limited. You know, see anything from him?
Yeah, starting right away in his warm-up snaps at left guard, and took them all here in the teamwork. So looks to me like he's going to be back and ready to go.
Limping, see anything beyond just what he was doing? I mean, beyond being out there?
No, I mean, but we've seen him at practice, and he's looked fine at practice. So I was actually kind of surprised that he missed the last two games, because he was practicing in the weeks leading up to those games and didn't seem to have any sort of limitations then, and he didn't seem to have any this week either. So I would expect him to be healthy and healthy enough that he's going to be out there.
I know you said there weren't a lot of players milling around and getting their workout before the game. Did you see anything with some of the skilled guys, Wes Welker, Rob Gronkowski, and Brandon Lloyd? Any extra attention from the training staff or anything like that, or business as usual?
Not from those guys, no. I mean, there's usually this group of maybe 8 to 10 players who go out early with Moses Cabrera, the assistant strength coach, and do some extra work beforehand. But none of those guys that you mentioned right there, Fall, were involved in that, no.
Eric, Andy Hart has been on pins and needles here for Kevin Faulk Day, the introduction at halftime. Can you describe the atmosphere in the press box leading up to it right now?
Well, I can bet I can just tell you that Fred Kirsch pointed out to me that Kevin Faulk is on the sideline at the moment and is engaging several people right now, I can see, in conversation. So I know Fred Kirsch is excited. I don't know about the rest of the media. They seem to be concerned with eating and talking amongst themselves. But
shot at the media.
Well, now
that's the way it should be.
You know, that's nothing new. So
wow, did somebody blow you off that you wanted to talk to?
No.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
I'm just pointing up. I'm just describing the atmosphere.
Oh, you got a little tone to it. Something going on up there? Am I going to be entertained today? Are you in a fight with somebody?
No.
Oh.
Except you, but I mean, that's
always. Right. It's not entertaining either. Okay, anything else you want to tell us before we let you go?
Not really.
Okay, bye.
Excellent. Eric Scalavino joining us from up in the press box, Patriots.com.
The best hit in the business.
Yeah, that was good. That atmosphere there for Kevin Faulk didn't sound like it's quite... I'm sure it'll build a little. The closer we get to halftime, I think it's going to build a little bit.
Mother's excited.
I think it's going to build a little bit more. What were you just going to say?
I think the running tallies at about 10 your mother jokes so far.
I do.
Well, I mean,
10.
The guy is disrespecting a franchise legend.
I said earlier, I think he'll be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. I think it's a little quick. That's all. I just think it's a little quick.
I agree with you that there's no need.
But it's what they do. They did it for Teddy Bruschi. Why should they do it for him?
There's no need for the third day. I couldn't agree with you.
You know, I just think, you know, they should change what they do. That's
all.
Well,
talk to them. It's not his fault.
Emails, webradio, patriots.com. We don't get enough of these. I know you're going to like this one, Andy.
Get rid of Adam Jones, I hope.
Guys, no, I'm saying we don't get enough of these. We get plenty of those. Guys, can we get Adam on PFW in progress during the week instead of Escal? Adam is sounding more and more like Paul and Andy with each pregame social. Leave Escal to John Rook.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
And you just have somebody to hammer
away. I agree. You are better than Eric Scalavino. I 100% agree with that. You take that for what you want.
Yeah, you do with that what you will.
However you value that.
I'm going to sleep well tonight. I want to sleep well with that information. Also, Joe writes in, hey, pregame social team,
hey.
Checking in from the Republic of Georgia, where it's cold
and
rainy.
Skippy.
Wrote in a couple of weeks ago, telling about my adventures. I'm the self-proclaimed, second most interesting Pats fan in the world, working as a ship captain and part-time North Korea guide. Anyway, just got out of Iran, and I had the luck to listen to the Rams game on web radio while illegally drinking moonshine. I also promised, and he attached a bunch of pictures, to attach a picture of my girlfriend in a Patriots thong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was. Andy remembers.
I do remember that aspect of it.
Yeah, she wasn't into letting me send you that. So,
cheers cool.
And go Pats.
Sucky, sucky, five dollar.
Oh, for God's sake.
And he's going through the whole email. He's like, who is this guy? I remember that.
Yeah.
Pats thong, yeah.
So he hangs out in North Korea and Iran.
Drinking moonshine illegally listening to Patriots games on the internet.
Moonshine. It's like, yes. It's like the 1950s South or something.
Well, in some of those places, they are, you know,
just a question. Yeah, yeah.
Behind. And you can write back in, Joe. Who is the most interesting Pats fan, if he's second?
That's James Pettigrew. You ignorant slut.
Yeah, you'll never make it on PFW in progress.
Yeah. James is the most interesting?
Yes.
James is absolutely the most interesting Patriots fan alive.
And potentially the wealthiest.
I really don't think there's any if on that one.
Buys us lunch every Tuesday.
Most interesting Pats fan alive. Right, yeah. I'll mark that down.
He's the guy who said to tell you to read his emails when they come in.
Yeah, no emails.
Bitch.
No email from James.
Well, I think he's actually abroad right now.
You want to write in, James? You can do it. I got it. I was thinking the same thing. We were thinking the same joke. Same little wavelength. Northeastern connection, Andy. I don't know if you
know the big news. No, we are not going there. I know the show is coming to an end.
Big
but
one, Andy.
If there's anything worse than Eric, it is listening to
voice,
you guys talk.
The voice of the Huskies really brought it home for everybody.
Let me tell you,
Friday night.
The commercial breaks in here were just jam-packed with a lot of Demetrius Pollard talk. It was quite
all right, let's reel this back in. Your job is to reel this in, not get us off track on Northeastern.
Yeah.
And you're
shut
failing
up.
Miserably in
what
your
would,
job.
What would you like to reel it in?
No,
into,
I just want to get back to the...
What, mother jokes?
One final thought here on this Bills Patriots game.
Summarization of this Bills game.
Why don't you?
And we were talking about
as
it in the break.
He has his jacket on and his backpack ready to go.
there is little to no interest in this game based on Patriots fans through the week.
Well, based on the Patriots. They barely came out of the locker room.
Based on the most interesting Pats fan in the world not even emailing us, I would say, that would be
boring.
I think that's interesting coming out of the break for the bye here. And clearly no one, including Chris Brown, really has a lot of respect for what the Bills are doing right now or much of an expectation that they're could be a game out there today. And given a team that's only 5-3, that had a hiccup at home already, that tried to have a hiccup against the Bills not too long ago, I find it interesting that no one, you know, it's like maybe if I asked Shane Gailey, would he even pick the Bills to win today? I don't think he would.
It's very similar to the way we went into that Jets game. You know, no one really gave it a shot. No
and
one
where
gave
we
it
end up?
Overtime.
Overtime.
Yeah. No, I just sort of supporting your point, Andy. That's all.
And yet we all picked the Patriots to cover, and two of us picked the over.
That's why it's going to be a shocker, and that's why, you know, why they play the games will be said.
But I picked before. But we all picked the Patriots that day, too, did we
against,
not?
Against the Jets?
I don't think any of us picked the Jets to pull an upset.
We all picked the Patriots in that loud stadium in Seattle as well. So, you know, two of us.
I think he's more annoying than me.
Two of the three of us picked... Pick the Patriots to cover against the Cardinals too. I don't.
He just cracked himself up.
I don't recall who the one was who had that right on. The
Yeah, I don't either.
Which
don't
one? What, the Arizona game.
Two of the three were also worried about.
Who'd you take in the Baltimore
Sandy.
Game the next week? Patriots. No further questions. I think.
Did
I
they cover
know.
Though? I think they might have covered.
They pushed, I believe.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Then I pushed. Feel all right about it. Anyway, Patriots and Bills about to kick off here from Gillette Stadium as the Patriots emerge from the bye week here.
Really is.
About to start the second half. We're about 15 minutes away from the kick.
When you had your own show, I now can see why it failed.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
You had way too much freedom.
Our Patriots pregame social. I will talk to you on another show that I do, the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. We'll talk to you then here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Buffalo Bills.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.